I've got the privilege this morning to speaking to you, and we're going to be talking about dreams. Who loves to dream? I love to dream, especially the really nice ones where you're dreaming about chocolate and all the lovely things. And then you get some dreams where you wake up and you still think that you're still in that dream, and then you realise that you're not. So some dreams I get is really horrible dreams. So sometimes I dream that I actually break up with my husband, Rob. And I wake up in the morning and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, we've broken up again. And I'm like this. I'm like, oh no, he's still there. It's okay. So I hate dreams like that. And did you know an average human being spends 6 whole years of his and her life dreaming? That's a fact. I don't know whether it's true. I got it off Google. So if there's any dream experts in there, you know, I might have got that wrong. So if you haven't grasped already from this morning, we are focusing on dreams. But I want us to concentrate on one particular dream. And I want us to draw our attention to a dream that Joseph had that got read out so beautifully before. So if you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. But after he had considered these things, the angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid. Now let's just pause here for a minute or two, and let's concentrate on what the angel said to Joseph. Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So let's think about all the things in Joseph's life that is causing him to fear at this moment. So let me take you back to the moment of Mary and Joseph's engagement. And what it would have meant for Joseph to be engaged to Mary. Mary is referred to Joseph's wife, even when they are engaged. And the Jewish law basically is when they're engaged, they're actually married, really. And they had arranged marriages back then. And then when Mary's family gave her up, Joseph had legal rights over her. But we need to understand the culture of Mary and Joseph that they lived in. Even though they're engaged and they were called husband and wife, they didn't actually live together. But they were just engaged. And after about a year, there was two things that happened. They had a big wedding ceremony, and then they consummated their marriage in the evening. But during their engagement, there was loads of things going on with Mary's life, which we heard all about last week. But Joseph didn't have a clue about this yet. And after she returned from a 3-month visit to Elizabeth, like we heard last week, Joseph could hardly believe his eyes. Standing in front of him was his fiancée, but she looked very different. She was actually about 3-4 months pregnant. But he was thinking, well, that can't be my baby because we haven't had, you know, keep it, you know, because children are in the room. So, you know, he was thinking, oh, does that mean that my fiance has been unfaithful? Has Mary been unfaithful to me? And what we know about Joseph, which actually is not a great deal, to be honest, but Matthew says nothing of Joseph's personal sadness at this prospect. But I think we can imagine the things he is thinking. Who would not feel for him after receiving such devastating news? And as he brooded over this matter, probably in the stillness of nights, it's keeping him awake, his happy marital prospects are darkened because this has happened. His happy life just looks very, very bleak and full of fear. Now, how are you feeling this morning? Are you feeling consumed by fear like Joseph? Do you feel like the walls are caving in around you? Do you feel like actually your life's a little bit at the minute? And I feel really, really fearful. Now, Joseph has not yet seen the bigger picture. Have you not yet seen the bigger picture? Have you not yet heard about the bigger picture of your life? And like Joseph, we end up, when we don't see the bigger picture, we end up living with our own thoughts of ourselves, our troubles, and we get totally consumed. And I think this is where a lot of us go when we are full of fear. And I know that I do, and I know the past few months I have had moments of absolute fear, and I'm sure that I'm not alone. We are not meant to suffer with our troubles. We're not meant to suffer with our fears alone. And I think when trouble hits, when trouble gets hold of us, when fears get hold of us, we can miss the bigger picture that God has for us. Until God shows up and opens our eyes wide that we've been listening to, until he opens our eyes to the truth, to the light, we just don't give in to our fears and our troubles. And like the angel said in verse 20 to Joseph, don't be afraid. God is saying this to you this morning. Don't be afraid. So let's go back to Joseph. Now he is in total meltdown at this point. He is full of fear. Because other than the fact that she's pregnant, in Mary and Joseph's culture, this is a really, really serious offence by committing adultery. But it says this in verse 19. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. Because he did not want to publicly humiliate her, and didn't want Mary to be accused of adultery. And the law of Moses stated the penalty of adultery usually ended up in stoning. But because Joseph still really cared for her, and because he was a righteous and gracious man, he wanted to do this in secret. But then this happens in verse 20. But after he considered these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream, saying, so in other words, there are things here that are going on that you don't know about yet. There is the bigger picture, and the angel and God is just about to tell him. Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And Joseph, at that time, he wakes up. He is obedient, and he takes Mary as his wife. God speaks, and his fear is. God speaks, and his fear is gone. When God shows up, amazing things happen. Amen? And then he stands united with his wife, ready to step into what God's got for them, ignoring what people may think of them, because Mary and Joseph have had their eyes wide open. Have had their eyes open so wide to seeing the bigger picture, by seeing God's big plan. Do not fear, because the King is coming. Yes, that is so exciting. Do not fear, because the King is coming. When we think about that baby Jesus, when we think about what that angel was telling Joseph in that dream, that Mary is going to conceive a baby called Jesus. This weak and vulnerable and beautiful baby boy. What a beautiful picture of God coming into our human race. But let's not make no mistake about this baby. That he has come. He is king. He is sovereign. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. We need to understand who he is. We need to get to grips of who Jesus is. And it was really quite interesting on Thursday. I was watching Nance's play, And it was an amazing play because it literally just told the entire Christmas story. And I was sat by Siobhan and I just kept saying, Siobhan, like the truth that was coming out of these little children's mouths. And it was literally the story from start to finish. And we see every year the Christmas story get played out, you know, year in, year out. Many people see it. Non-believers, believers see it. And at the end, hearing these parents going, gosh, that was really, really great. But if your view of Jesus stops at the manger, you are not getting everything. You are not. If your view of Jesus is every single Christmas, you are missing out big time. This beautiful, iconic Christmas story is so much more than that. And in verse 21, it says this, she will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus. And this is a Greek form of the Hebrew name of Joshua, which means the Lord saves. Because he will save his people from their sins. The famous verse in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son Jesus, so that everyone who believes in him shall not die but have eternal life. Jesus has come to save, to rescue our sins. Do you know what? You can have Jesus all year round, not just for Christmas. You might be sat there thinking, well, this is a really beautiful story, but I live in the real world where there is pain. I am actually in pain right now. I am actually heartbroken right now. I've got broken relationships. Katie, if you knew the stuff that was going on in my life, you would be so disappointed. Do you know what I would say to you? I would say, do you know what? I am so glad that you are here today. I am so glad that you are here today, because hopefully what you've been hearing and listening and what I've been talking to you about is some really great news. Jesus is wanting to have a relationship with you. God knows you completely. He still loves you. He cares for you. He has a plan for your life, like he had a plan for Mary and Joseph's life. Why don't you this morning, if you are feeling fearful or troubled or lonely or heartbroken or lost, why don't you ask Jesus to show up? And it might not be in a form of a dream. It could be in the form of a dream. It could be in the most unusual place. Because when you ask him to show up, he will show up. And sometimes when you don't ask him to show up, he will show up. Now, I'm going to tell you a bit of a story because I just think this really fits, like, really well. Nick was going to share it last week, but as he said, it wasn't his story to tell. And this is really about fear. And a lot of you know about my dad. A lot of you know that in the summer, my dad got diagnosed with stage 4 bladder cancer. And it had spread from his bladder into his lungs. And basically, it was terminal. It was incurable. He had basically either 6 to maybe 18 months to live. It was a really, really, well, it still is really a sad time. This Christmas, we were preparing for our, probably maybe our last Christmas. And as you can imagine, and honestly, for you, obviously, a lot of you obviously know me, it's been a really, really tough journey. And I have been filled with fear and insecurity and anxiety and just what on earth is going on. But God has been there right by the side of me. And something amazing happened. 2 weeks ago, I was going down on Thursday to visit my parents because they were just about to get the results of the chemotherapy. And Thursday morning, I was on the train, and all of a sudden, I don't know if you're O2, the whole of the O2 just went completely down. So I had no Wi-Fi. I was on the train for 2 hours, no Wi-Fi. I'm thinking, oh no, but I left my phone and I want to see everything and stuff. So I was thinking, oh, right. So it's better read my Bible instead. So I got my Bible out and I read my Bible for about an hour. And I read John 15. And that was all about how Jesus, just remaining in Jesus, just keeping your eyes on Jesus. So I was reading all this thinking, okay, this is interesting, this is great, because of the night that we're going to be heading to. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, I really want to listen to the music, but Spotify's not working. So fiddling with Spotify thinking, and the only song, I'm telling you now, that came on that worked was God, God of Miracles. So I'm listening to this song on the train thinking, no other song works, and I've got loads of worship songs on my phone, but this song, and I'm thinking, God, are you speaking to me? I text Rob going, okay, this is just really weird that I just think God has showed up and God is speaking, but have I got the faith for it? Or have I got the faith? Is God saying that he's going to be doing a miracle with my dad? So that was amazing that God showed up. And then we went to the appointment. And this is the most amazing thing that happened. We sat in that chair and the doctor said these words. This is remarkable. This is unbelievable. You have responded not just a little bit to the chemotherapy, but you have responded so well that it has shrunk. It's not just shrunk a little bit, it has shrunk to like the size of a satsuma, to like the size of this. And well, at that point, I was just like, and he just kept saying the words remarkable, because he's like, but he's missed two of his dosages, and this shouldn't really happen. And I just kind of was like, I know this happens because we've been praying. I know that my church family have been praying for my parents. I know that other church families have been praying for my parents. And I know that my dad knows that you've been praying for him. And I just think that, you know, sat in that room, a miracle happened. And I just want to say thank you that a miracle has happened. And to the point the doctor said, in February, when you have finished your chemotherapy, I wouldn't be surprised if the cancer is completely gone from your body. I'm going to see the next 12 months. And wow, you know, God showed up. God showed up like Joseph, who was just about to do something really heartbreaking and was just in complete, like, mess. He didn't ask God. God showed up. And like me on the train, I was a mess. But God showed up. And then God did this amazing miracle. And we're going to have a fantastic Christmas. And I just want to say thank you for that. But do not be afraid. Because he will help you with your fears. And he will guide you through your troubles. Because why? He is King of Kings. And he is Lord of Lords. And he loves you so, so much. Just ask him to show up.